Welcome to Stoner TV, our new series of all kinds of interesting matters that we bring to you from Leipzig, Germany. We're here already for a few years in this business of alternative media, free media. And for me now, after working for a few years, we come to this point that we think we have to step over beyond these language barriers and present some of our stuff to the international audience. Just because we have the feeling that we are growing together, you know? So this is the first in a whole series of episodes that we want to present you. And we're dealing with all kinds of scientific questions, history, archaeology, anthropology, questions of culture, and all kinds of freaky stuff as well. And in our first episode today, I want to present you something which is still very unknown in the international world. It's a subject of archaeology, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to present you here today the most precious and most special archaeological artifact that was ever found in Germany. And this is not only a German subject, this is our common heritage. And I'm very happy that you want to share in this. I'm talking about this artifact, the Nebra Sky Disk. This is very, very special in a lot of terms. Yeah. It's an artifact which is about 4,000 years old. It's from the Bronze Age. It's a disk. It's got about the size of a regular pizza, I would say. Yeah. Maybe like this big. Yeah. It's a disc made of bronze and gold. And it's a unique find. There's nothing that you can compare with this. Out of the Bronze Age, this is really unique. And it tells a big story of man in the Bronze Age, about early history, of prehistory, and this thing has the potential to change our mind, our view on how our forefathers lived. Now, this artifact was found in 1998 by two people that were searching for metals with metal detectors, so it was not part of an official archaeological campaign. And it was found near the small town called Nebra. That's why we speak of the Nebra Sky Disk. And this is not too far, actually, from here, from Leipzig. Maybe 60 kilometers northwest of Leipzig is this place. And near the small town of Nebra, there's this little hill, the Mittelberg, it's called. Mittelberg, we would translate that in central mountain, middle mountain, but it's not a mountain, it's only a hill a few hundred meters high. Here I've got a picture of the Mittelberg, and right there in this light spot, this is the top of the Mittelberg, and this is where 1998 these two guys found this disc. Here we have also a few, which is right on top there. If you visit the place now, it's open, you can check it. This is exactly the spot where they found it. I mean, these two guys, that they were looking for treasures, they are treasure hunters, but they did not roam around just accidentally. The landscape, this Mittelsberg, is indeed a place where you can expect you might find something. So they didn't just walk around by accident. We're talking about old land here, and on some of these landmarks, if you have an eye, you can feel, okay, there's some old stuff. And this is exactly the case at the Mittelberg. Well, these two guys, when they found this precious disc, they didn't recognize what they found. But they saw this, okay, there's gold material on it. So they sold it to a dealer for 30,000 Deutschmarks by that time. And then the next 2 years, this artifact, and I guess we're going to go back to the picture, so because it's so beautiful, we can see this all the time. It went from dealer to dealer, and the prices always went higher and higher. This was going on for about 2 years. And then the by that time the rumors were so big that even the official state museums and stuff and the universities, they heard about this found. And then it was the director of the state museum of prehistory in Halle. He was the one who was in an undercover action. He was buying this piece from some of the dealers in an hotel in Geneva, and there was police in the second room and stuff like that. So hats off to the guy from the museum. He bought this thing, and ever since it was in the year 2000, this is public. When it first came out, many scientists here in Germany and internationally were thinking this can only be a fraud, because it's exceptional. I mean, there's nothing that we can compare of this. This is what they say the eldest expression of the sky worldwide. This stuff is older than Stonehenge. This is older than what we find in Egypt or in Babylon. This is the eldest picture of the sky worldwide. So this makes it really precious. Okay. There's one find that might be even older. It's on a little piece of clay at a temple in Malta, the little islands in the Mediterranean. There they found on a piece of clay even some older pictograms of stars. And this is interesting. That's why I'm mentioning it, because at some other point I'm sure we're going to talk about Malta and the temples there. But this is really, really ancient, and it's got a big story to tell, this piece. When the found was made public in the year 2000, since I was always interested in historic and archaeological stuff, I checked it out. I read this and I was amazed. And I always wanted to visit the museum, but you know as it is, you know, you can do it next time. And so the years gone by. And actually, it was only like 4 or 5 years back when it was the first time that I got to see the disc in real in the museum in Halle. And this was really special. Already the way I came there, it was at the winter solstice, the 21st of December. And it was not planned that way, you know, it was just everything fell in place. And on that day, me and my family, we had time, okay, let's take a trip there. It's not too far, but and pay a visit to this disc. And it's presented in the museum in Halle in a very good way. There's one single room that is only made for this disc, no other artifacts in there. And it's beautiful. And I mean, you're led into this, so beforehand you learn something about the Bronze Age and how scientists think people were living there. And then you come to this one room, and the room is dark, and there's only one in the center of the room, there's a disc presented, and it looks as if it's floating in the air. Yeah, and you can see it from all sides, and it's made with very good light effects, so you can see it, check out the details and stuff. And then on the ceiling of the room, I tell you, the room is dark. The only light is the shining disc, so to say. Yeah? And then the ceiling of the room, there's stars on the ceiling, and they are slowly like rotating. So this is the way it was presented, and it's amazing. I mean, people. Tourists visit so many archaeological places worldwide and also in Germany, but this is still not in the general mind, so to say, in the public mind. Because when I was there at the museum, there were hardly any people. I was the only one in this room, at least for a half an hour or an hour. And this is, I tell you, this thing has a certain vibration. And it caught me. It's very inspiring just to be with this piece, and it's telling a story. I mean, it's not only a precious found and beautiful piece of art and handwork. This also tells a story about the beginning of religions, the beginning of calendars, the beginning of hierarchies. And this is what I want to present you today. Just the facts about this sky disk, but also the story that it told me. Yeah. So the sky disk It was found not alone. There were some other founds with it. These Bronze Age swords, and also on the next picture we can see also some stuff. These are chisels and axes. So it's bronze stuff. And this was found all together with the Nepa Sky Disc. Why is that important? Because from these bronze tools and weapons, it's quite easy to find the right date. What time are we talking here? Yeah. And of course, there's also some other examinations that were done with this piece. As a matter of fact, I guess I can say there is not one, probably not worldwide, but in Germany for sure, there is not one archaeological artifact that has been so incredibly examined with all kinds of high-tech stuff than this. And all results show this is an original. This is no fraud. This is indeed around 4,000 years old. Or we can say 4,000 years ago it was buried. Because the piece itself was maybe in use for hundreds of years and several generations. And we will talk about this in just a second. Yeah, but this is important. The Sky Disc, when it came out of use 4,000 years ago, it was not just thrown away, but it was ritually buried. And it was buried together with this other stuff and at the right place. So it was not just buried, as in some cases in the old times, when you had treasures, you just bury them because you are afraid that somebody else might get them. Not in this case. This was a ritual burial. It was not hidden from somebody. This is important to know. Yeah, the disc was made in four different steps. So the way we see it now is just the end result. And this is also not a theory by myself or something. This is the result of all these examinations. You know, they examined the gold, where does the gold come from, the material and all that. And it's quite obvious that this disc had four different steps of process. This was the way the original disc looked like. And what we see here is this big golden circle in the center. We all say this is the sun. Then we see a moon and we see stars. Of course, one might say, because I mean, this piece does not come with a description with it, you know, it's all a matter of interpretation. You might say, maybe this is not the sun, this circle in the center, maybe it's the moon. But I feel, and there's a consensus, I guess, of most scientists, they say, what we see here is sun, moon, and stars. Just like a child sees the sky. What do you see in the sky? Sun, moon, stars. And some of the stars are special. You can see there's these seven stars kind of in a cluster up there. And most people say this is probably the Pleiades, which are seven stars, the Pleiades. But all the other stars, we cannot find any we cannot find any, how do you say that, star signs, like stuff like in the zodiac, Pisces or stuff like that. We cannot see this. It looks as if these stars are just made random, placed randomly. If they are, I'm not sure. As a matter of fact, I doubt that there's anything done randomly, but so far the stars, we cannot say that these are certain parts of the sky. It looks as if they are placed random. But what we see is sun, moon, and stars. Just pure, as a child. This is just art, and it's fine art, you know? You look in the sky, you watch, and then you put it into being here, and it's a piece of art. And by that way, it was maybe in use for a few generations. And then there came the first modification. And the first modification that was done with this disc was this. These two pieces came, and actually the left one is still missing. It's gone, we don't know where it is. But these two pieces that were brought up there, they are no more art. This is they were not brought there because they make the thing look nicer, but this has a special meaning. These two pieces, they measure the angle between the points of sunset within the year. I mean, we learn at school the sun is rising in the east and it's setting in the west. But actually, this is only true if you live right at the equator, or it's only true on 2 days in the year. That is the equinoxes. All other days, especially if you live in the northern hemisphere as we do, the sun is rising and setting at different points. In the summertime, where we have lots of light in the north, the sun is setting at west and a little bit north, northwest. And at the winter solstice, where we have the shortest light period, it's the opposite. The sun sets southwest. And the angle between these two extremes is exactly 82 degrees, if you are on the latitude where Nebra lies. So, in other words, if this Nebra's sky disk was made exactly for the place of Nebra, or at the same latitude. You cannot use it in Norway, or you cannot use it in Italy. If you go north, these scales, they should even get bigger. And if you go south, they should get smaller. Until the equator, you don't need anything of that. So these show exactly the points of the sunset and the angle in between. Now this is a big step, you know. Out of pure art and just looking, came you remember a pattern. You know, the march of the sun throughout the year follows a certain rhythm. And after generations of stargazing, people decoded that march of the sun. And this was a major step. And this is the first step that you have to creating a calendar. You create a calendar if you have these, in German we call them Kardinaltage, the cardinal days, which is the two equinoxes and the two solstices. And if you have these four points, you can make a cross on the circle and you get the four segments, which are the four seasons. So this is the first step towards the calendar, towards a solar calendar, of course, is when you decode the march of the sun throughout the year. And this is what the people did. So this is a major step. From pure art and just watching, you come to the point that you understand that there's a certain rhythm and you decode that. And now you can use that. You can use it as a calendar that enables you to make predictions. We know exactly when the winter solstice is and stuff like that. So this is already a major step. Then another few generations pass by. People use the sun disk for whatever use they had. They use it this way. Until there came another modification. And we're only talking about a few generations, you know, maybe a few hundred years, who knows exactly. The next modification is this piece here. Now, this is really, really very interesting, and I don't know how you see it, but for me, at my first glimpse at it, I said, wow, this looks like a sun bark, like a ship. Why do I come to this? Because we have the symbol of the sun bark, we have it all over the place in ancient times. Of course, in Egypt you can see this many, many times, the sun bark, where the sun is sitting in and it's floating over the skies and then starting its journey in the underworld. We can see barks like that in caves in northern Europe, all over Europe. So this is an old symbol. And it's also different from these other pieces of gold. You might see this only in detail, but there's on this bark, there's a pattern on it. So these are just flat, but there's a pattern on it, very finely made, and this lets it look like an organic material, like wooden. It's a boat, it's an ark. That's the way I interpret it, and nearly everybody else does as well. So this, people, is a major step, isn't it? Because now, with this spark, this shows the birth of religion, of a narrative. It's so interesting. I mean, before we had only people watch the sky. Then they realized, oh, wow, there's a certain rhythm in it, and we can measure this. Measurement. From art comes measurement. And out of measurement, out of this knowledge of the nature of things, in this case the sun, out of this came a religion. And it's interesting, and there's many great researchers that pointed to this, that nearly all major religions are based on astronomical actions. So we're talking about astrotheology. And this is what we can see exactly here. Out of astronomical knowledge came stories. Before it was just, you watch the sun, like a child. Sunrise, sunsets, wow, you have the rhythm of the seasons, and you just float with it, you surf with it. You're one with nature. From this point on, this is where all of a sudden we had priests telling a story. Hey, the sun god, he's floating in a bark, floating over the sky, and then he needs to go in the underworld. And we have all these stories there. Eh? And all of a sudden, it's no more just a natural phenomena, life, but all of a sudden we have a story. There's gods. There's a sun god. We need to help him. And this is where in first time probably there came something in existence that. We have to support the sun disk. Maybe we have to work for it, or maybe we have even to sacrifice for it. Animal sacrifice, also human sacrifice, happened in the old ages, also here in Europe. And this is where this started. Because now we have to do something. It's no more natural that the sun is floating. Hey, if we don't do our duty, maybe the sun will stop, and then all life is changing. So this is a very, very interesting point, that with this sun bark, all of a sudden, out of science, out of understanding of the solar calendar, rises religion and priesthood. We see here another example for that, also of the Bronze Age. This is younger than this guy, but it's also Bronze Age. This was found in Scandinavia. I guess it is from Sweden. And here we see a sun disk and a chariot that is transporting the sun disk. This is the narrative. You know, the sun disk is on a bark, or it's on a chariot, but it needs to be driven, so to say. It doesn't do that from alone. Yeah? So this is already a religious artifact. This is where religion came to being. And then we have the fourth modification of the disc. And these are all these holes that are put at the edge of the disc. And all archaeologists agree on that one, and I do as well. These holes are there for practical use. Out of our disc turned now into a standard, into a sort of flag. You know, something that the Romans carried in front of them. I mean, in this case, not the Romans, of course, but I'm just saying it became a symbol. And with these holes, you can tie it onto something, or tie it on a stick, or even maybe tie it on the breast of some chief or something, you know. And if you watch closely, you'll see that at this point, this modification, it didn't take any respect for the older stuff. Look, I mean, it's the holes are made right through the gold here, while the first modifications. They didn't. They tried to fit in harmony, you know. This piece it didn't cover any of the other gold stars. And for these ankle measures, there was even one of the on the other side. One of those golden stars was even moved, but they took care of it. On this last step, they didn't take care at all about any of the older stuff. And what I see here is on this last step, we see the birth of hierarchy, the birth of a military, which we did not have before. But all of a sudden, there's somebody who's the boss. All of a sudden, this piece becomes like a talisman that you carry maybe in a battle or something. Yeah? And all these things show how in just on this disc show the transformation from pure natural being and just watching the sky and being happy with it to science, to measurement. You get a scientific approach. All of a sudden you find out things. You get knowledge. And out of this knowledge came then religion. And hand in hand with religion came also hierarchy. This is the story that the Nebra Sky Disc is telling. And this happened at the Bronze Age. Now, nearby from Nebra, not far away from this place, there is another archaeological site near the small village called Leubingen. And there we have a Fürstengrab. A grab is a grave. Actually, it's a little hill. It's a very special grave. And a Fürst, I don't even know how to translate that in English. I guess you would just say the ruler or something. Yeah? The first, we can understand it if we look at language. German and English, they are familiar with each other. And first, can you hear it? It's the first. So he's the first one, yeah? the boss on top. He's the first. And so here in Leubing, nearby there, at the same time, we're talking also Bronze Age, around 4,000 years old, there's the first Fürstengrave in Germany, the first one. Before that, people look more or less the same. You know, there was people were free, and nobody was over the other one because there was also no use in being rich. Everything that you need to have as a free man, you can make on your own. Your clothing, your huts or tents or whatever your way, you make your tools, you make your weapon for chasing, for hunting. All this you can do on your own, but with the beginning of metallurgy, with forgery, with making metals, there came in something special. Now this stuff you cannot find just in nature and make on your own. So we are exactly at the brink where the old way of living, close to nature, that was long ago. It was going for thousands of years. At this point, where special knowledge came into humanity, the knowledge of the skies, of the march of the sun, and also, even maybe more important, the knowledge of how to forge. When this came into existence, life changed forever. This is, I tell you people, the making of bronze is maybe the biggest step that we had in human history. We look back when was made the wheel, or we look at Gutenberg, who was doing the first printing machine, so we have book print and stuff. Of course, these were major steps. Or if you look at nowadays, the internet, of course, is a major step. And it changes life, it changes us. But I guess if we look at all of mankind, the biggest change was brought with the secret of how to forge. And this was a very special power. Just think of it, bronze. Bronze is a material you don't find it in nature. Bronze is a mixture of copper and of tin. I guess it's only 4% tin, if I'm right. 96% copper and 4% tin. And if you melt these and mix it together, you get bronze. Now, for people in those days, this is nearly magic. This is alchemy. There's somebody creating a new material, and this material is better than anything you find in nature. The difference between a bronze tool, if you use it as a tool or if you use it as a weapon, the difference between bronze and copper is amazing. I mean, you know, this is skyrocketing. Yeah? And for the people in those days, the smith the one who had the knowledge to forge these materials was, this was the high tech of the day. And it also needs already a certain organization of people, because the materials for it you also don't find easy. The tin, I guess, it doesn't come from Germany. The tin comes from Spain, and gold is somewhere else. So you already have to have established a certain network, a network of trade, of that you have to know these things. And so the knowledge of how to work with metals was the first step towards hierarchy. And I was at this grave of Leubing. That's what I wanted to tell you. In Leubing, where they found the first Fürst, the first ruler, the first grave that is no more like the other ones, but it's sort of a building. They were building this hill, and they were giving many donations to this grave. And what they found in there, in the first Fürstengrab in Leubingen, actually, Leubingen is spelled L-E-U-B-I-N-G-E-N, so you can look it up. What they found there is not only like some precious stuff they were giving to the dead body so he can survive in the other world, whatever, but they found also tools in there, tools of the smith. They were given to him. So It's an idea, it's a theory. We can, of course, not prove it. This stuff is 4,000 years old. But the theory is that the smith, with his special knowledge, he became the first. He became the first ruler. The smith turned to the ruler. And the shaman, the stargazers, they turned into priests. And they walked hand in hand. And this is when all of a sudden we had this phenomena that the society was totally changing. New came agriculture. Before that, people were roaming around freely in the land. But with bronze, you could also make tools to start agriculture. So this turned society a lot, and with agriculture there came something we can call maybe like an original caste system. So you've got some part of the people, they only work on the fields. You have other parts of the people, of course a little bit lesser, they turn to priests, and you've got other ones, they turn to warriors, and you've got a hierarchy. So in other words, The Nebra Sky Disk tells the story of how society came from a circular organization towards a pyramid. Now this is a major change, because we're still in this. Still now, I mean, I don't have to tell you, I mean, we're facing all the problems of hierarchy and pyramidal thinking and power and international organizations and all this stuff. We know this. And I always wondered where did it came into being, and this points to how it came into being and where when it was, and it came into being with the knowledge of metal, of how to work with metal, and the knowledge of the march of the sun. Yeah, then back to the Nebra Sky Disk, we have some other very interesting astronomical features of this disk. Now, I told you the disk was found on the Mittelsberg, nearby Nebra. And I told you already, this disk was not found by accident there. It was made for exactly this place. So the location, the Mittelsberg, is a special place. It has some natural features. And I tell you what, if you're standing on the Mittelsberg at the winter solstice, 21st of December, and you watch the sun will set exactly over the Brocken. The Brocken. Brocken is a funny word, probably it's translated best chunk, a piece of chunk. And the Brocken is it's also a hill, a little mountain, and it's the highest site in northern Germany. So it's a traditional landmark. The Brocken, it's the biggest place all around, in all of northern Germany, the highest place. And if you're on the Mittelsberg, You can watch at the Brocken the sunset exactly on 21st of December. So this is a natural feature that for our forefathers, for them, the Mittelsberg was perfect, the perfect location to have something like a star observatory, because of these natural connections that it already had to the Brocken. And the Brocken is, as this old landmark, is a special place also for our forefathers. They live with landmarks. This stuff was important to orient yourself and stuff. And it was a living land. So the Brocken is also the place where even nowadays, in our days, there are all kinds of myths and fairy tales around this place. And this is in Germany, where at the Walpurgisnacht, and you might have heard that, I don't even know how to say that in English, Walpurgisnacht. It's the night from the last night of April into 1st of May. And traditions say that at this night, all the witches, they go to the Brocken to make their dances and fly around the fire and stuff like that. Of course, there's a lot of projections of Christian thinking in older times. But it's interesting that we're talking about the same location. So that's what I want to point to, that the Brocken is itself a special location with all these myths around there. And then there's the Brocken is part of a mountainous region that is called the Harz. Harz is called. And also there, I mean, for you as English speakers, you can check the language. Harz. Herz. Herz in Germany. The heart. This is the heart of Germany. The heart of the old land. These mountains. The Brocken and some others. And these natural features from the Mittelberg that you can watch this, the sunset over the Brocken. There's another one. There's in the Harz, there's another very famous, of course it's not a mountain, another hill there. Yeah? It's called the Kyffhäuser. The Kyffhäuser. And this again is a place that even nowadays, there's many, many stories, tales and a mystery around it. Connected to German history. There's legends that there's one of these old German emperors 1,000 years ago, that he's still living inside of this mountain, and a lot of interesting stuff. And the Kyffhäuser is also in a relation to the Mittelsberg. Because if you're standing on the Mittelsberg, we're always on our little place here where we have the observatory. If we're standing on the Mittelsberg and we look at the sunset at the 1st of May, or the last night of April, so exactly the Walpurgisnacht, from the Mittelsberg scene, the sun sets exactly over the Kyffhäuser. Now these are natural features. And I don't know how many generations it took for our forefathers to find this out, where's the best position in the land, where you have these landmarks, where you can orient, where you can scale things, you know, where you can put things in scale. And so the Mittelberg at Nebra that you can watch, you can go there, is a special place. It was not just by accident, we do it somewhere. No, they did it exactly there. Interesting also the name Kyffhäuser. There's if you follow the root of the language, Kyff, this is familiar, and it's also not my interpretation, I mean this is etymology. The Kyffhäuser has a connection to copper. Copper. And there's also next by a mountain called the Kuipersberg. So it's all pointing in this direction, huh? That we're talking about a long, long tradition here. This stuff is 4,000 years old. And even nowadays, people still celebrate on the Brocken and the Kyffhäuser, and it's this old connection, and it's pointing towards copper, metal, and this stuff. Very interesting, yeah, indeed. Yeah, but let's go back to this. So, this natural feature that if you stand on the Mittelsberg and you watch the sunset at the winter solstice, you get it exactly over the Brocken. So, this is making it possible to calibrate the disc. And I talked already about these scales, and I said these scales are the angle of the two extremist points of sunset, and so the upper part of this golden angle must be exactly at the Brocken. So this is winter solstice. Next is the equinox. Both equinoxes. And the equinox is also part of the cardinal days, also they define the seasons. With the equinox starts the spring equinox, 21st of March, and it starts the fall season, 21st of September. And on both of these days, at the evening, if you watch sunset, the sun sets exactly on the middle of this. If you don't move the disc, you know, the disc, you check it with a Brocken, and then you can use it all year long to mark exactly the days. And of course, then we have the last one coming, the summer solstice. And again, the sun has been moved over there. So what we see here is the early form of a calendar. This is all high tech. This is all knowledge. This is in the old ages, how accurate, with an amazing accuracy, they were defining those days. And this is such an important and interesting question that I cannot give you the answer to. But the question is, why is it that for our forefathers, it was so important to get this accuracy, to know exactly when are the solstices, when are these cardinal days? Now, very often people say, well, it has to do with agriculture, because the farmers need to know the seasons, so you sow your stuff at the right time and know when to harvest. But that cannot be true, really, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if there's any farmers of you out there listening, but the farmers I know, I mean, they never work with an exact solar calendar. That is not useful. I mean, because every year the seasons is different. I mean, one year you've got a long winter. Next one, next year maybe spring comes early. So, as a farmer, you sow your seeds when it's just the right time, but not by an exact date. So it has nothing to do with this. Though there is a connection to agriculture between calendars and agriculture. There's a connection, and also between the playouts that we see on the disc in other cultures, also in India, for example, and the playouts are often connected also to agriculture, to calendar. So there is a connection, but it doesn't explain that you need to this accuracy, that you know exactly when the date is. That doesn't explain it. Yeah? Because for a farmer, it's just enough, okay, now we're midsummer, now we're midwinter. You know this, you just look outside, you just go outside and you know if it's the right time or not. So this is... does not satisfy me as an answer. And the question is still, why were they so keen on this? And we see that this is the Nebra sky disk is only one part in a much, much older tradition. Because what the Nebra sky disk is just, how can you say, it's the miniaturization. It's a technological progress. What this shows us is the same that, for example, something like Stonehenge in the south of England shows us. Stonehenge is also, and there's a consensus on it, Stonehenge is also marking exactly, it has these astronomical features. I mean, it's marking, it shows you exactly where does the sun set on solstices, or what about the equinox. This is what it's for. So people also in the age of Stonehenge, they had also this accuracy, but this is even more high tech. And stuff like Stonehenge, these things are quite common. This is also what is not known for many people. What we see something like Stonehenge because we have stones. But the idea of making circular buildings just to find out and to mark these important days and nights of the year, this is much, much older tradition. And there's many of this stuff also in Germany. Why don't you know about it? Because we can't see it. Because the much, much older stuff than Stonehenge, these circles, they were not built by stones. They were built with poles. wooden poles. And there we have quite a few in Germany. We don't even know how many, not only in Germany, in Central Europe, Northern Europe. And we don't know how many, because the poles are no more to be seen. You can only see them if you examine them archaeologically. Then it's quite obvious. I mean, I've been working as an archaeologist, so I tell you, it's quite obvious. You can see the different colors in the soil, where there used to stand a wooden pole. In this area of the soil is different than the natural soil. So you can see and you see a pattern. Oh, there's a circle. And there's many of them. This one, for example, it's only a scripture. This is at Goseck. Goseck. It's also, it's also not far away from Nebra. You know, this is it's old land that I'm talking about. It's also near the Harz, Germany. This is Goseck, and this is even much, much more older. This stuff is 8,000 or 9,000 years old. And what we see here is only a painting. This all, everything that is black, that was the original circular poles. It was all made of woods. And what we see in yellow here is this is exactly where the sun rises at winter solstice, and this is where sun sets. So definitely this entire circular stuff, it was built to measure these points, like the Nebra sky disk, to measure exactly when do we have the solstices. And this is 8,000 or 9,000 years old. Why did people have to know this stuff? I'm not sure, and I will talk about this in another episode, but for now, What I want to show here is that we have a continuity at this in this country near the Harz. We have a continuity of gazing into the stars, of decoding the march of the sun and the different points where sun is rising and sun setting. So we get a pattern of the year, and this is a very old tradition. Between this and the Nebra sky disk, there's something like 4,000 or 5,000 years in between. But you see the continuity? It's amazing, yeah. And this is also not the only one. It's one of those that were discovered. And indeed, people say that's the way the science says. This is the oldest sun observatory worldwide. This stuff is much more older. I mean, by that time, there was nothing in Egypt. There was nothing in Babylon. Yeah? This is really old stuff there, and this continuity. This is what's really thrilling me, because it's going over centuries. And as I told you, we have much of these pieces in Europe, in Germany. I know just another city nearby, Dresden. You probably know a big city. In Dresden, they also found something like this. Just on construction sites, you know, it's always like that. We live in an old land here in Europe. Yeah? When you build something, construction, you find something, okay, you get the archaeologists in. And because we don't have any active archaeology anymore. Yeah? Like also, sorry if I digress a little bit, but that's my style. the Nebra sky disk was also not found by archaeologists searching for it. In Germany, archaeology is only reacting. We have no more times like Heinrich Schliemann, you know, who's going out and having a vision and seeing the country, feeling the country, following your intuition and saying, wow, here is something. It's not like that. Now we have treasure hunters with metal detectors and they find something and then archaeology jumps in. Or we have construction sites somewhere and then archaeology jumps in. But we have no more active archaeology that is working to find out something about our prehistory. It's not like that. There's no budget for it, no money. So, but in Dresden at a construction site, they also found traces of there were wooden poles, and then they looked a little bit and they found out there's another one, a big circle, but the circle is in diameter a few hundred meters. So it's a big thing, and you cannot unearth it at all. It's downtown, you know. But we know There are probably dozens, maybe hundreds of these observatories, I might call them, in Europe. Now that's amazing, and this is old stuff. So over thousands of years, this was important for our forefathers to mark these dates. Now, there's I already told you that I'm not sure if the stars at the sky disk, or these golden dots, if they are really randomly. Now, we cannot connect them easily to the sky. We cannot find the Great Bear or something. Maybe the Pleiades, but even this is not sure. There's also some people who have other ideas. But what is an interesting idea that I want to share with you, just to open up that there's so much more to discover within this matter of the sky disk. Some people brought up the idea that these dots on the disk, that they mark places in the land. In the land here. So that you might also take or read the disk as a map showing certain places that are in connection to each other. Certain places that are here on Earth. And this is interesting because it's also a very old idea. And I guess it was first brought into words by Thot, the Egyptian god of wisdom that the Greeks called Hermes Trismegistos. And he said, as above, so below. The idea is that there's a relationship between stars, what we see above and below, that it's mirroring somehow each other. This also, I guess, if you watch this, I guess you know Graham Hancock, British researcher, and he was one of the first who brought this idea into a great book that was called what was it called? Fingerprints of the Gods or Blueprints of the Gods or something. But the idea is that humans wanted to mirror on Earth the stars, and then it's vice versa. So the idea is quite interesting that maybe even some of these dots mark certain places in the land. Here's just one of the ideas. This is parts of Germany. This the leftest star and the dark green area. This is the Harz. And then we have other sites that are archaeological sites, maybe landmarks, maybe it's places where you have very old archaeological findings. And you might be able to put these into relation with each other, and then have them, you might be able to find them on the disk as well, like this. Now, this in the moment we are now, this is only ideas. It's not all proven yet, but I wanted to show you this because it's such an interesting idea. And I have also a feeling that it's going towards that. For most scientists, they say, there's no connection between Nebra and this Fürstengrab of Leubingen that I told you, where the first smith or ruler was buried, and connections to Goseck and there's other places. Of course, the scientists say there is no connection because we are in different times also. But what we see is continuity. And then I think it's quite a good idea that the land is also in a network. This is how do you call that? This geomancy, and we see this in many countries of the world that archaeological sites are connected with each other, and they show if you connect the dots, they show a pattern. At one time, we might talk here about the French cathedrals showing a pattern of the star sign Virgo, stuff like that. You know, people were not building on accident. I mean, for our forefathers, the land was a living land. It's living. You don't just do... For everything is the right place, and therefore everything is the wrong place. Right place, right time. This is the thing, and for our forefathers, this seemed to be quite important. They had this in consciousness. That's also why they were maybe measuring always the time, so you get to the right time. And this is also maybe only an idea, because I told you I don't have the answer to the question why this accuracy, but possible. And I will talk more about this at another episode. It's possible, or it seems possible to me, that for certain rituals, for certain things to do, you have to have the right time and the right place. And exactly the right time. So that's maybe why they were so keen on not just, okay, now it's about summer. No, they want to know exactly, exactly. So it's probably the right time, right place. You have to know these things. And yeah, the Nebras Geidisk is pointing in many of those directions. Still, we don't know so much about these dots that are stars, or what do they show. But I'm convinced that there's nothing done by accident on this piece. This is done so accurately. This is finest artwork. This is this has to do with science. Yeah, and so what do we do now with this sky disk? And I guess towards the end, we put it again there because it's just so beautiful. Watch this. If you have ever time to go for a trip on Europe, don't only go to Neuschwanstein, you know, that all the tourists go to. It's also nice. But Neuschwanstein, you know, the Disney castle in Bavaria. Hey, this is only 19th century. This is modern stuff. We've got some real old stuff as well. Interesting places, you know, interesting connections. So if you're in Europe, pay a visit to this. You can see this in Halle. Most of the time it's in Halle. There was some exhibitions also. I'm not sure if it was ever in America, but there were some exhibitions at other places. And interestingly enough, the expeditions were called the Forged Sky. And that's so true. Again, it points, and I point to that as well, the power of the smith, the forgery. This was something very special. Check out the Greek. The Greek had its own god for the smith, Hephaistos, the god of the smith, and he was important. This is the basics of alchemy with fire. You need to have fire, you need to make something hot, and the mixing, solving of structures and materials. This is the entire basic of alchemy and so on. This is absolute basic stuff. So it's interesting, the forged sky. But most of the time, usually this thing doesn't travel too much. I don't know if it has ever touched the American continent. You have to come to us to see. So what do we make of it? For me, this disc told me the story. It told me the story of how from an innocent way of just watching nature, living with nature. You're one with nature. The sun, the moon, the stars, we're here on Earth. You're just in it. We turned into science. We turned to knowledge. Knowledge turned into power and religion. All of a sudden we had to make stories out of it. And knowledge of metallurgy turned into weapons, superiority. All of a sudden you had precious stuff. And that was really a turning point in human history. Now, what's also very interesting for us to say and to understand this, we were taught in our schools and universities that culture came from east to west. One of the old sayings was that I learned ex oriente lux, that's Latin, and it says, out of the Orient, out of the east comes the light. Which is right, it's true for the sun, you know, sunrise, east, okay. But it's used as a metaphor that all grades of civilization, they came from these early civilizations, from Babylon and stuff, Mesopotamia, Egypt. And from there, culture and civilization moved on to the north, to Europe. Yeah. And we learned in our school books that our forefathers, Germanic tribes, Celtic, they were all barbarians. They were wild people, you know, running around with a big club and hunting deer or hunting each other, always fighting, you know, wearing big furs and stuff, helmets with horns. This is all bullshit. It's just not true. You know, this points to something totally different. I mean, people who were making this is the result of generations of stargazing. You cannot do this on once in one lifetime. You have to, there's continuity. There's people working together. There's at stages where so far we thought that human beings were primitives. These people are obviously not primitive. You know, they were already very high sophisticated. They had a culture, but They were a culture not writing. They were a culture not building temples with stones. They didn't do that. maybe they didn't feel to. It was not that they were not able to, because people who were making this could also make stone temples, but they had a different approach. Nebra's guide it can really change our perception of our forefathers. And also, I want to say, this is not some Germanic national stuff. I mean, we're talking about 4,000 years old, you know, there was no Germans in this sense. This is our common heritage. That's what I want to say. And this is why I want to present it to you and spread the vibes worldwide. This is our common heritage. We have an old line of forefathers, we have an old tradition, and Europe is not some a place only where savages used to live, but in opposite, it might even be where the beginning of this entire, what we call civilization, where it started, where religion started, where science started, where rulership started, hierarchy started. And the interesting stuff is really, this sky disk marks the moment when the ring was broken, the circle was broken. Because for thousands of years, people were living together as a circle, you know, in the tribe. And also the stargazer, he or the shaman or medicine man, whatever you want to call him, was part of the circle. And you bring your knowledge in the circle. But from that point on, all of a sudden, something broke out. I might even use the term breakaway civilization, which was termed by Richard Dolan, an American. But even here, you see the breakaway. You see it? The Smithsonian, the Smith, no, not Smithsonian, the Smith, he turned to the ruler, and the shaman, the gazer, the medicine man, he turned into the priest, and the circle turned into a pyramid, and this is still needs to be healed, but we can only heal it if we take the right diagnosis and see where it's coming from, and we're still on this, and yeah. In this way, or this is the attitude that in the name of healing, I want to say, in the name of healing, I present you this stuff. And I hope it's inspiring you as much as it did me. And if it inspired you, if it inspires you, then we will be happy if you support us. Support our new site. We have a new YouTube channel, Frank Stoner TV. We have a website where we will put all the material together. And our idea is to share our knowledge. In those days, this is where the broke happened. And all of a sudden, knowledge became secret. You don't share your knowledge how to make bronze. This is special knowledge. You don't tell the simple people the secrets of the March of the Sun. Now it becomes special knowledge. Now it becomes hidden behind the narratives of the priests. What we are doing is exactly the opposite. We want to share it free with you. There's no paywall, there's no hidden stuff. Everything that I have to share, what I know, I want to share with you. And I would be very happy if you support us for that, and if something comes back. So support us, spread the vibes, spread the channel, and look out for more to come, much more to come. So for now, I'm saying thank you to the world. Have a nice day. See you next time.